Well, thank you, Sister Marissa. That was good. And I believe it. Somebody told me this morning they passed a country church and it had a sign outside and it said, Jesus is coming soon, hopefully before the election. I guess we'd all be happy about that too, wouldn't we? But he is coming soon, amen. And a lot of folks are going to be surprised, no doubt about it. Well, I'm kind of taking advantage of the fact that we have a good staff here that we can call on most any time. A lot of good preachers on the staff, and I'm kind of needing a break today. I used Brother Mike Case in Sunday school. He done a great job for us this morning. And I'm going to use Brother Bob Azzawardi tonight to bring the message. And I got by this morning, and it's doing better tonight, but this thing here where they messed up close to my eye, filled up my eye with fluid. I guess it's good. I was seeing double, so I expect a double offering today. Double attendance, everything. But it's better now, but I've asked Brother Bob if he would come on and bring the message tonight. We appreciate him doing a good job for us around here, and he's just had such a sweet attitude about whatever we ask him to do, just stepping up and doing it, and we appreciate it. Come on, Brother Bob.
Right, sir. All right, well, I appreciate that. There is something, if you ever know what disappointment is, you just hear what happens when you realize preacher's here and he's not preaching. And you can just kind of, it's like a collective air gets sucked all out of the room at the same time. And that's a good time for me to announce the title of the message tonight. It's Why Did You Come to Church Tonight? Your motives are about ready to be proven. And so if you'd start heading over to 1 Chronicles chapter 16, I've got two different places I'll have you turn, just a few verses in each place. But 1 Chronicles chapter 16 is where we'll have you start. And then once you get that, put your finger or an offering envelope or a bulletin or something in there and hold 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and then go to Psalm 96. They're only about a quarter inch apart from each other of pages. And so 1 Chronicles chapter 16 in verse number 23 is where I'll be starting tonight, and then Proverbs 96. If you put a placeholder there, I'll start out in 1 Chronicles 16. And hopefully I haven't made it too complicated for you already tonight. But 1 Chronicles chapter 16 is where I'll start. And I would like to, just while you're still flipping the pages a little bit, I really enjoyed this morning. I always like hearing Pastor Carter. I pastored for a number of years, and I got to the point where if I ever did go someplace else where I didn't have to do everything myself and I could just listen and just glean and be fed, and I don't want to get spoiled on that, but it's such a treat. So much enjoy just being able to listen to somebody else, and so it's just a great place to be. Sunday school this morning, Brother Mike Case, of course, preached or taught the lesson. And one of the things that he said, I was so blessed by so many of the things he said, just could really relate to it in such a personal level, just again to be a little transparent. But one of the things that he said is just the opportunity that we all have really as church people just to kind of be like Aaron and her and just help to support and hold up the hands of the man of God that is leading us and cheering us on to victory and praying for us. And just so it's not just a treat every once in a while for me to get back up behind the pulpit and be able to handle God's word in an environment like this, which really is a treat, I guess, every once in a while. I won't lie, I appreciate that honor, and I enjoy it, and I plan to enjoy it. Whether you do or not, I will. But as much as anything, it's just, it is a very humbling honor, and I appreciate it, and I just trust that you'll give us a good ear tonight and let the Lord speak to your heart. So 1 Chronicles chapter 16, and I'll start reading in verse number 23. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse number 23, it says, "Sing unto the Lord all the earth, show forth from day to day his salvation. Declare his glory among the heathen, his marvelous works among all nations. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods. Verse 26, for the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Look at verse 27, glory and honor are in his presence. Strength and gladness are in his place. Give unto the Lord, ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Now just flip back over to Psalm 96 and look at verse number 7. Psalm 96 and verse 7, it says, give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Verse 9, O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. Lord, I pray that you would bless the message tonight. I ask that you would bless your word. I ask that you would bless the preaching of your word. And I ask that you'd give wisdom to each one of us tonight as we listen and hear and just evaluate our hearts once again. Thank you for searching us and trying us and knowing our thoughts and see if there be any wicked way and cleanse us, lead us in the way. And I just pray tonight that we would just have left in a little while when we leave this place, and we will be rejoicing and say that it's been good to have come to the place where we assemble and encourage each other and are strengthened in the Lord. And I just pray again that you just anoint me tonight and don't let me get in your way. I just pray that you'd flow through me, and I just pray that the truth that you've laid on my heart will find its place in the hearts of those that you intend to send it to tonight. Let them listen attentively, and again, just give the Lord the honor and the glory due his name. That's what we want to have happen tonight, if nothing else. We want you to be pleased, and we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. My sister, my kids all trembled when I said my, because they thought it was going to either be wife or daughter or son. But I won't do that. I'll be nice. So I'll pick on my sister tonight. But when she was a little girl, she had gotten saved at home. And, of course, the next church service, my parents had encouraged her to walk the aisle during the invitation and come forward and make a public profession and let the pastor know that she had gotten saved. And, of course, was wanting to follow the Lord in baptism. And so after the preaching, they started the invitation, and she went by herself. She wanted to go by herself. And so the invitation started, and she walked down the aisle all by herself, and she just stood there in front of the pastor. She didn't go kneel at the altar or anything. She just stood there, and he finally realized that she was waiting for him to answer. And so he kind of knelt down in front of her, and he said, why did you come today? And, of course, what he was meaning was, why did you walk the aisle? Why did you come forward? Why did you come up here? Is there a decision that you'd like to make, or would you like for us to pray for you? Or why did you come? Meaning, why did you come to the altar? And she thought, well, that's an honest enough question. Why did I come today? And she just smiled. She said, because I like to come to church. Now, that really didn't answer his question, but it was a pretty good answer. She said, I came today because I wanted to come to church. I like to come to church. And the truth is, that's a very sobering question. Why did we come today? Why did we come to church? Why do we ever come to church? What is our motivation? What are we trying to accomplish when we come to church? There's a lot of different ways that people would answer that question. And some of them may be right. Probably one of the closest thing to the right answer to that question would be this. Brethren, we've met to worship and adore the Lord our God. Will you pray with all your power while we try to preach the word? All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One come down. Brethren, pray and holy manna will be showered all around. Brethren, see poor sinners round you slumbering on the brink of woe. Death is coming. Hell is moving. Can you bear to let them go? See our fathers and our mothers and our children sinking down. Brethren, pray in holy manna. We'll be showered all around. Let us love our God supremely. Let us love each other too. Let us love and pray for sinners till our God makes all things new. Then he'll call us home to heaven, and at his table we'll sit down. Brethren, he's going to serve us.
He will gird himself and serve us with sweet manna all around. That's a pretty good reason to come to church. All those things are things that ought to be elements of what we come to church for. What is the reason we come? What is the motivation that we come? Very interesting. We use the word worship a lot, and I like the word. It's kind of gotten a lot of contemporary type churches have gotten away from just the preaching and the conviction of the power of God, and they, maybe with good motives or not, but they come to church to praise and worship. And if that is what they're doing with the scriptural context and with the right motivation, I'm not totally against that, but it just seems that there's something, and I haven't spent a lot of time in those churches, and they're not my enemy, but most of the time, the reason I'm just making that point is this superficial praise and worship dancing type thing. We had a lady, a visitor, ride our bus one time, and it was here in Point Siena, and the lady got on the bus, and she was acting a little bit nervous. And I said, "Well, man, we're really glad you come." And she said, "Well, I'm a little bit nervous about something." And she showed me her shoes. She had some real high platform type shoes on. And she said, "Am I going to be able to dance in these shoes?" And I said, "Well, the kind of dancing that we do at Landmark, you should be fine with that, you know." And the idea of worshiping the Lord, we think that worship is just something that we just kind of contort our faces and make some sort of a gesture, and that's what worship is. More dangerous than that is when we get the idea that worship is something that we come to church to do. Now, that sounded right. What I just said, of course we're supposed to come to church to worship. But if you don't understand what worship is, what you are doing is you're basically carrying around a time card with you all week. And when you come to church, you're saying, "I'm coming to worship." Ka-ching. Yeah. And you assemble to worship the Lord, meaning you're going to sing the congregational songs, meaning you're going to nod your head every once in a while. You might even say amen every once in a while. But your idea of worship is you are gathered together in church, and there's stained glass windows, and there's a steeple on the top of the building. So you must be worshiping. And then when the service is over, it's ka-chink. Okay, I got that out of my system. Now I can go just live like I was living all week before I came to church. That's not worshiping. Let me give you a definition. Don't write this down. You may take a little bit of note, but it might be more lengthy. But I jotted this down when I was thinking about it. We are supposed to assemble to take the worship that we learned to do individually during the week and come to church to offer a chorus of worship with others who have done the same thing. Can you imagine what a church would be like if people walked in the door and they've been worshiping all week? And they say, "You know what, let's just get together and worship the Lord together. Let's worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Let's not say, let's make a complete transformation to what we've done." Even riding in a car on the way to church when you're fussing at each other and having tension and having unkind things being said and impatience with each other. And you get to church and you walk in the door, it's like, "Well, amen. It's so good to be here to worship with you all." You know, and you're just as phony as the day is long. but worshiping is something. I'll say it one more time because it took me about 2 minutes to write it down. We are supposed to assemble to take the worship we learned to do individually during the week and offer as a group of people a chorus of worship with the others who have done the same thing. I'm going to turn, I don't care if you turn here or not, it's just a couple of verses, but in Revelation chapter 5, in verse number 12, it says, "Saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I say, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever.'" Do you know what we're really supposed to come for? We're not supposed to come to church because of us. We're supposed to come because of him. We're supposed to come not just to insert in our life an opportunity for us to glorify him, because we're already doing that. And we are missing, we're cheating ourselves, we're robbing ourselves of so much thrill and joy of what Christianity is supposed to be when we turn it on and off. We're supposed to roll. Did you know the Bible says that when you are sleeping at night and something wakes you up and you roll over, your thoughts are supposed to be about the Lord. He's thinking about you while you're sleeping. That's not too unfair to ask. Everything you do, whether therefore you eat or drink, whatever you do, you're supposed to do it all to the glory of God. So the idea of coming to church when you're already on fire for the Lord and you're not coming saying, I just dare somebody to be blessing to me today. You know, you're probably not coming because of the fact that you understand, you got a good grip on the fact that the Lord is worthy of honor and glory and praise. You're coming because you say, well, I'm kind of discouraged. I'm going to go to church. Maybe they'll cheer me up. Now, there's no, in that itself, that's not necessarily a sinful thing, but there sure is something a lot better than that. You come into church saying, I just don't feel very good. I hope that somebody looks at me and smiles and tells me they appreciate me. You know, that may you may come because you're hoping you'll get to hear a young family sing with beautiful harmony and it'll touch your heart and be a blessing to you. You may come because you enjoy hearing the choir. You may come because you enjoy the preaching. Sure, that's a great thing. You may come because you enjoy the announcements. You may come because you have a friend that comes here. I had, when I was pastoring in Georgia, there was a pastor. Well, there was a lady in the church. She'd been in the church for quite a while. And one day, I noticed that she didn't come, and I waited a week and noticed she hadn't come the next week. And so I thought next time I had a chance, I better go follow up and check up on her, make sure everything's okay. So I went to her house, and her car was in the driveway, and when I knocked on the door, she came right to the door, so she wasn't in a hospital or, you know, or whatever. She wasn't mad at me, apparently, because she smiled and let me in. And I said, I just was checking up on you. We missed you the last couple times and just wanted to make sure you were okay. And she said, well, the guy that used to pastor this church before you did, he started a church across the river, and he came and visited me and wanted me and told me that I needed to quit your church and start going to his church. Now, you guys that are in my class at the college, don't do that, all right? That's just not ethical. That's just wrong. You just don't do that. You just don't. And even, I mean, if I had gone liberal and if the church wasn't worth going to anymore, I might have been able to justify his motive a little bit, but I probably still wouldn't have done that myself because I don't mess with other people's church members. And again, that nickel wasn't even written down in there. but here's what she told me. I said, is that what the Lord wants you to do? I'll be in favor of it, but make sure that it's, you know, that the Lord's leading you to do it. You don't let another man tell you where you're supposed to go to church. I don't even do that. There's only one church that you should go to, and that's the one that God tells you to go to. And she said, well, Pastor Bob, she said, that church in the ladies' bathroom, there's this mirror, and it goes all the way up to the ceiling. And then it's about 4 feet wide, and it's got this beautiful little gilded frame all the way around it. And I said, you know what, maybe you ought to just stay at that church. We can't compete with that. We're not going to be able to afford a big mirror in the bathroom to find somebody spiritual enough that wants to come for the right reasons, you know. And I'll admit, I got a little bit irritated by it. But people come to church for all different kinds of reasons. But let me restate this. We are supposed to come to church because of Him. We're not supposed to come to church because of us. We will likely receive a blessing when we come. And that's perfectly okay. I'm thankful for that. I hope you do. I hope I do. But that should not be why we come. So why did you come? Why did you come today? Why did you come tonight? Why did you come to church? Did you come tonight because you said, I think Pastor Carter's preaching again? You know, that's why I prayed real quick after I read the scripture. I didn't want anybody to have a chance to leave out in case you had a wrong motive for coming. No, look, everybody is here tonight because they want to hear from heaven. We need God. And we came, and if we get blessed, if something encourages us, or if we are taught something, or if we're challenged about something, or if God uses His word to convict us and purge us of a sin in our life that will give us a better, sweeter life, maybe heal a relationship in a home or in a friendship, anything like that happens that's positive and good and benefits you, sure, there's nothing wrong with that, but that's just not why you come. God may do that because you, and he may do that a lot more. He's very likely to do a lot more blessing of you if you come saying, you know, I got some troubles, but I'm just going to go ahead and come and just, I want to just tell you how sweet you are to me. I just want to tell the Lord how wonderful he has been in my life. I just want to thank him that he's never left me or forsaken me. I just want to worship you in spirit and in truth. I don't want to come to church and dare God to do something in my heart. I want to come hungry. I want to come thirsty. Sure, I want to get something. But more than anything else, I ought to come because I want to give him the honor and the glory and the praise that he deserves. And you know how much more fun it must be for him when we all come together at the same time and are doing that. Wouldn't a church be a wonderful thing if a good percentage of her members started saying, you know what, I'm not just going to come to church out of obligation. Yeah. Sometimes we're stuck in that. Sometimes when you serve the Lord, especially in the ministry, when you serve the Lord, sometimes the devil just beats on you so hard, you've got to occasionally just put on a front, because you can't be a leader and stand in front of a bunch of people and say, oh, I'm just so depressed. The Lord's devil's just really picking on me today. You know, he may be. And men of God, you have to sometimes have wisdom in learning how to deal with that kind of thing in the ministry. But primarily, what we need to do as Christians is we need to come and we need to say, Lord, if I just surrender everything about me and just get me out of the way, a good thing to do is just check yourself at the door and come in and say, Lord, everything that's me, I don't even want to bring to your presence. I just want whatever you are and whatever you want to be in my life and whatever it is that you want to mold me into, I want you to have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I'm the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. Well, I'm just waiting, yielded and still. That's why we ought to come to church. Why did you come today? People come to church for an awful lot of crazy reasons. As I travel over the country, well, I've met a lot of folks. They come to church on Sunday, but they're coming as a joke. They really don't care to be with God's people, but I guess they feel religious when they walk beneath the steeple. Some come to church just to listen to the singing, more for the music than the message and the meaning. Some come to church just to keep from being idle, but thank God for those who come to learn from the Bible. Some little girls seem to come just to wiggle. Some a little older seem to come to laugh and giggle. They compete for attention and the preaching's never heard, but thank God for those who come to hear God's word. Some come because they want to get in on the fun. Some come to ride a bus and get some bubble gum. They sit and make a racket with their feet upon the floor, but thank God for those who come to really know the Lord. Now, some young folks come a sweetheart to meet. Others come to plant a wad of gum beneath their seat. Some come because they couldn't go to the beach, but thank God for those who want to hear the preacher preach. Some come because their parents make them come with them, so they sit in back and cut up during the invitation hymn. Some come to catch a nap and sit and sleep and nod, but thank God for those who come to hear the word of God. Some come because they think that everybody ought. Some come to show off new clothes that they bought. Some come for reasons unbelievable and odd, but I thank God for those who come to hear the word of God. Now, folks come to church, as you see, for many reasons. No matter what the time of year, the weather, or the seasons, but no matter why you come, the truth still remaineth. It only pleases God when the love of Christ constraineth. Why is it that you come to church? People come to church for all kinds of crazy reasons. Let me just give you, just change gears just a little bit. When I was a teenager in particular, I grew up in church. When I was 4 or 5 years old, earlier than that, really, I remember looking through one of those little windows when I was a kid watching a preacher preach. And as soon as I had enough awareness of what was going on, I was watching him and I was thinking, I like that. I like what that, I may not have even spoke English yet. But there was something about what he was doing and what he was saying that I liked. You know, I said, I'm attracted to that. And I grew up in a good home, and we had a faithful, consistent testimony within our family. And of course, my parents were real good, solid people. And even my sister got saved and walked the aisle, you know. But in particular, when I was probably about 11 or 12 years old, they let us start sneaking into some of the teen activities. Just kind of on the tail end. We were the bratty little kids that the teenagers really didn't want along. But every once in a while, there was something special that they would include us in. And I was close enough to being a teenager. You know, I think when I was 12 years old, I was still like in third grade or something like that. So they let me come. And, you know, but I remember we would go to preaching conferences. And I remembered I would hear, I heard Curtis Hudson preach. I heard Tom Malone preach. I heard John R. Rice preach one time just towards the very end. And just thinking about some of those men that I got a chance to just hear. And God just really burned something in my heart. Over and over and over again, I went with an awareness that I have come. And again, maybe I didn't totally understand this concept either, but I love God. And maybe I was thinking subconsciously that if I can learn more about Him, maybe I'll be able to please Him better. Maybe I'll be able to live a little bit more life of victory, and maybe He will get more glory out of my life. And but I think I had the best motives I knew how to have. And I remember even when I was a teenager, we got our cars. Our guys in high school started getting our little junky old cars. And you know, while all of the other people our age were going to rock concerts and going getting into all kinds of trouble and stuff like that, we would hear that there was a preaching conference someplace. And so we would get in a car and we would go as just on our own, not even as an organized thing, but we would go and we would listen to some preaching, and you know, we'd walk down the aisle and we'd cry and we'd make decisions for the Lord. And here's the interesting thing about preaching. I can tell you that every significant decision that I ever made in my life, and spiritually, something that just lasted and impacted me long term, was as a result of having listened to preaching. You come for any number of reasons, but when you come to listen to preaching, God is a lot more likely He will get glory. Look, if you're not there, He can't bless you. He may have a table spread, but if you don't come and dine, then He can't bless you with it. He can't feed you with it. And so one particular time I went to, it was in our own church, and we had a special preacher come, and I don't remember really even who it was or what he preached about, but I just remembered I was just so flooded with and it wasn't really even a conviction about something wrong that I was doing, but there was just something burning in my heart that was very real about just knowing who God was, and I wanted to please Him. I wanted to do the right thing. I wanted to surrender whatever I could in my life. I just wanted to give Him. I wanted just to yield myself to His hands like a hammer or whatever He wanted to use me for. And I made that decision. And in that one particular instance, it was so real to me. I just forgot anybody else was in the room. And I listened to that preaching, and I went forward, and I just remember praying at the altar, and the service kind of ended. And at one point, if this has ever happened to you, I don't do it very often, but I wasn't trying to fake it. I just looked around and I realized that they were closing things up, and I was still there. And so I just said, "Well, I'm not done yet." So I knew they wanted to close the service, so I went out the side door, and I don't know why I remember this detail, but there was some scaffolding set up out behind the building, the metal construction scaffolding where they were doing some work on the outside of the building, and I climbed up a little bit of that and sat on one of those planks on the scaffolding, and I sat there till pretty late into the night, and I really didn't even totally understand specifically what if there was a decision I was making, but I think it was just God was just dealing with my heart, and I was just listening to Him. And it was so good and it was so real that I finally thought, well, I hear the cars starting to start and I can see the headlights starting to move around as people are leaving the parking lot. So I climbed down and I walked over and I was looking for my friends because I just expected they were all going to be huddled someplace praying and just being overwhelmed and dripping with God's goodness like I was. And you know what? They were just horsing around. And they were just talking about all kinds of nonsense. They were talking about sports. They were talking about girls. They were, some of them, I think I even heard say a couple of kind of off-color words and things like that. And I looked and I said, "You didn't just go to the same thing I did you? How in the world could you have sat through what we just heard? All of us heard the exact same thing, but affected me a lot differently than it affected a lot of the other people who were there. It wasn't anything different with God's power in the service. Wasn't anything different with what the words the preacher said. Wasn't anything different. We all heard the same special music. We all stood at the same time, sat down at the same time. The temperature was the same in the room for every one of us. There was no difference in my experience and everybody else's experience, except that I had come apparently with a different frame of heart. I came, for whatever reason I came, I remember that I just thought it must have affected everybody that way, but it just surprised me and I couldn't understand why it hadn't. And I'm gonna, in case you think I'm pious just a little bit, more often than that, preachers always tell you the good stories, but more often than that, here's my testimony. I wonder if I put the garage door down when I left the house. Tomorrow I gotta get that report ready. Oh, man. Oh, yeah, and I forgot to pay that guy for changing oil in my car. What? Oh, they're done? Okay. Man, that was a boring service. That preacher probably didn't spend much time studying for that sermon. Well, I didn't get anything out of that. And, you know, at that point, you do the same thing as you do when you were blessed. You look around, and, you know, I mean, if I can tell you one spiritual story about my life, I can tell you one honest one too, okay? They're both honest, really. But I've actually had this happen with my own family when I would go to a service and I would just think it was just dead. I don't know what was going on, but there was just absolutely, everything was just kind of off kilter. And it just, there wasn't any power. It was just dud. And I would get in the car and my wife would say, "Man, that was so good." And I would say, yeah, it was. Now here's a crazy thing. If you're in between, you're gonna go along with whatever you hear somebody else say. You may have nodded your head and pretty much listened and got the gist of it, but you weren't totally absorbed with God like he really wanted you to be when you came. But when you're walking around afterwards and somebody just says, "Boy, that special was way off key. Boy, did you hear when she dropped her songbook on the piano? Man, that just ruined the whole night. There was a light out in the chandelier. I couldn't keep my eyes off it all night." You know, and that's the only thing you got out of that service? When God showed up. Yeah. Look, we went and visited a church for a little while where it was in South Carolina where they're just, you know, I mean, they're real emotional anyway. And the first time we visited this church, while the preacher was preaching, he would say something and a lady would come down and kneel at the altar while he was preaching. And about 20 other people would come up and gather and huddle around. And I just started getting nervous. I thought, man, that preacher's going to call that down. That's just chaos. That's not organized. That's not the way we're supposed to do it. You know, and he just started hollering and praising the Lord and saying, "Well, it looks like the Lord wants to start the invitation now." And so everybody just started crying. And I said, "You know, if this is real, I like it, but I'm just not sure it's real yet or not." And I think that there's probably a lot of good people that may go to different places and have different influences and may have different styles of what's worshiping. But what I like is something that you can't fake. You know, that's why I like a changed life being something that you can't argue with. To me, that is so much better than somebody that just knows how to go through the motions and say the right words. But there's a reason that you ought to come to church. Now, I think the answer to the question, why is it that sometimes you get so much out of a service and other times you get nothing out of it with the same exact thing? And there are different people who are going. Some people really like it and some people don't. And the next one you go to, it seems like it's exactly the same. And you know what I'm talking about because we've all done this. There are times that you're just having a hard time keeping your head up. And maybe I understand you're preoccupied. Maybe you just had surgery. Maybe you've got a loved one who's dying. Maybe you've got a financial thing looming. Maybe I don't know everybody's situation. You know, so I'm not going to be real hard in judging people for not having a sweet look on their face. But I will say that when you come to church with a sweet look on your face, you're a lot more likely to get something out of it than you do when you come with a sour look on your face. You're never, so I think the answer is in our own state of heart when we come. You'll never get anything out of a church service if you don't put anything into it. Now again, you are supposed to be coming to bring glory and honor and beauty and all of those things that you're supposed to bring to the Lord when you come into His presence. When we come to the table hungry, He will fill it and He will satisfy. If we don't bring the plate to the buffet table, whose fault is it when we leave and we haven't been fed? Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. He invites His chosen people, come and dine. With His manna, He doth feed and supplies their every need. It's sweet to sup with Jesus all the time. That's His invitation. Why do you come? One of the reasons He wants you to come is to come and dine. But what you're supposed to, and there's nothing wrong with accepting His invitation to come and dine. Like the woman at the well, I was seeking for things that could not satisfy. And then I heard my Savior calling, drink from this well that never shall run dry. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup. Fill it up and make me whole. You come to church with your cup up like that, there's a good chance you're not going to leave with a sour expression on your face. You come saying, Lord, I really want You to get something good out of the church service today. Can I offer that to You? Can I bring that to You? When I come to church, I will come to have my needs met and satisfied. And I will come to be fed from the table of Your word. And I will come to be blessed by the singing and the presence and the encouragement of the people. I want to come so that I can hear some of God's word, so that I can be strengthened, so that I can fulfill what I'm supposed to do as a member of this church by having myself encouraged and equipped and trained and filled and knowledgeable about the gospel, so that I can go out there and find somebody who hasn't heard it. And if I don't come with the idea that I need You, then I'm going to leave without You and the world's going to perish because I have not come for the right reason. You're going to end up getting what you want anyway if you forget about what you want and come because of what He wants. That ought not to be your motive for doing it. But if you say, you know what, it's just about me, you're going to be stuck with you. You'll probably get what you deserve, being stuck with yourself. But if you come and say, Lord, it can't be about me, it's got to be about You. If you are primarily supposed to come to church because He's asked you to come and dine, then He is going to miss something that you were supposed to bring to Him. If I went back to our text, but I won't, I'll just mention a line or a phrase or two of it. But you are primarily supposed to come to bring an offering and come before Him and worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. That is to me, that's the right answer. You're supposed to come because of Him. You're supposed to come to worship Him. You come before Him. You bring an offering to Him. Those aren't words that are saying that you are supposed to receive. You will receive, but that's not why you come. You come to bring Him an offering. You come to offer Him praise. You come to bring an offering and to worship Him in the beauty of holiness. I'll close with this. There was a lady back a number of years ago. She's been long in heaven. But when she was a young lady, she was actually almost overboard with how cheerful she was. And she was just not just a bubbly person, which I don't mind so much, but she was almost annoying, kind of like me probably. she was almost to the point where she just didn't know when to quit. And she actually, when she was a young girl, maybe an older teenager, she started writing comedy plays and poetry and things that were comedy. And one day, when she was in her early 30s, she got sick with something, and it developed into a debilitating illness. And she was confined to a wheelchair, and she went through depression. She went through a time where she really, really struggled, and to the point where, by her own testimony, she became so angry and hateful toward God that she just completely started to shrivel up physically, emotionally, spiritually. She was just wasting away. And the Lord, in His goodness, sent somebody along, a man that just kind of tried to share some things with the Scripture from her, just hoping to encourage her a little bit. And he made one little statement to her, and it was this. He said, "Charlotte, Miss Elliott, you should just come to the Lord just as you are." And he married it to some scriptures and made a beautiful little devotional out of it. But when he left, she just could not get away from what he had said. And so she looked around and she found a writing instrument that she had long since neglected. And she took a piece of paper and she started to write down, "I'm supposed to come to the Lord just as I am." So she said, "Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee. O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee, whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lord, I come." Why did you come? The Lord wants you to come just as you are. I hope if you are a Christian, you will come tonight. Not just come to church, but maybe if He touches your heart, even come and do business with Him at the old-fashioned altar. Come. Take an invitation to come tonight to obey Him, to glorify Him, to dedicate your life to giving Him the honor and the praise and the glory and the worship that He created you to give Him. You know that's why He made you. He made all things. All things were made by Him and for His glory they are and were created. That's why that you want to find, I hear people, young people say, "I'm just trying to find myself." You want to find yourself? You were created to glorify God. No. Problem solved. Amen. Do that and you may still have some things you struggle with, but that's a pretty good place to understand where you go to start. Come to the Lord. I hope if you are a Christian, you'll come and obey. Real quickly, if you are not a Christian, you can come tonight and you can be saved. Come just as you are. And I'll say this, and I'm going to put this away just to let you know this is sometimes a meaningless gesture. But I'll just close with this thought, and then we'll have the invitation. I see every once in a while on a church sign, it'll say, "Come as you are." And usually what that means is blue jeans and a t-shirt and don't shave and don't brush your teeth or comb your hair. You know? But I understand that, and I guess in the context of what we just said, I appreciate that, knowing that you don't have to clean yourself up. You don't have to get well before you come to the hospital, right? You don't have to be perfect before you come to have God forgive you. You just come just like you are. But think about it this way. Come just as you are. Come as you are, but never leave just as you were when you came. Let Him change you every single time you come. Come as you are. But if you leave as you are, you have failed. Maybe the church has failed. God certainly hasn't failed. Yeah. Why did you come? Why did you come tonight? Lord, I pray that You'd bless us as we have an opportunity now to come. Maybe in our hearts we'll come to You in worship. Maybe we'll come and just kneel at our seats. Maybe just something that was said tonight will just let us come, realizing we're not here for ourselves. We're not here because we want to leave saying, "Boy, that was really good because I got something out of it." Can we leave tonight saying, "Lord, You are so good. You've been so good to us. You're so sweet. You're so real. You're so loving. You're